Good morning. If the congregation would please stand, and if you want to take your hymnals, the red hymnal, we will sing number 293, Amazing Grace. 293. Let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne with thanksgiving and praise, for you are God Most High. You are the giver of life. You are the one who breathes into each of us the breath of life. You are the one who knits us together in our mother's womb, as your word says, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we know that. And we know that for Amos Schultz, as we're gathered here, Father, to celebrate his life, this life of almost 87 years that you blessed him with on this earth. Thank you for the joys that he has brought to each of us in so many ways, for the life of faith that he lived, filled with your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for Jesus, most of all, our Lord and our Savior, that you so loved the world, Father, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you would fill this place with your presence, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And welcome to all of you this morning. Thank you for coming out. It means a lot to the family, those that are here today, those that were able to come last night and express your sympathies to them and share your memories with them. James 4, verse 4 and 5 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near." that verse, and we heard some of this last night in the sharing, but let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near, speaks well of Amos's life. Was he perfect? Of course not. Were there times he lost his temper? I imagine. I didn't hear any of that from the kids, but I imagine so. Most of us do. But as I interacted with Amos over the last 17 years here and there, definitely I saw that. As I spoke with his caregivers at the Menno Olivet Care Center for the last 8.5 years, they definitely spoke of that. And the smile always on his face. And I was asked by the family to say a special thanks to all of the staff at the Menno Olivet Care Center for the wonderful and loving care that they gave to Amos over the last 8.5 years. So God bless you. I know there's some of you here this morning, and you'll miss him, won't you? You will miss him, as we all will. And certainly the family joined in as the other day as we met and spoke about his gentle and kind heart, a soft-hearted man. That's quite a testimony coming from the kids. Because oftentimes we let our guard down at home. For them to say that, that's wonderful. I'd like to read the obituary at this time. Amos Schultz was born in rural Freeman on April 15, 1935, to Fred and Maria Hofer Schultz. Amos attended the Freeman Elementary School and completed the 8th grade. He then farmed with his parents south of Freeman. Amos married Geraldine Schultz Schaefer. She became Schultz. Amos married Geraldine Schaefer on October 10, 1954. They were blessed with 4 sons, Fred, Mike, Lauren, and Stuart. Amos and Geraldine farmed 6.5 miles east of Menno all of their lives, milking cows, raising hogs, and crop farming. They enjoyed square dancing and getting together with friends to play cards. In their retirement, they enjoyed spending winters in Texas, golfing, and visiting with friends, and spending time with their children and grandchildren. Amos especially enjoyed daily drives out to the farm to check up on the boys and supervise the farming operation. Amos was preceded in death by his parents, Fred and Maria Schultz, his sister and brother-in-law, Tobia and Wilbert Schaefer, his sister and brother-in-law, Ruth and Ernie Fisher, his sister, Lorene Schultz, just 3 months ago, his brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law, Marvin and Leela Schaefer, Emil and Sally Fisher, Arnold and Jenny Schaefer, Alfred Schaefer, Elton and Verena Teedy, Elton Schaefer, and Mary Jane Schaefer. He is survived by his loving wife, Geraldine, by his sons and their wives, Fred and Ann, Mike and Vicky, Lauren and Jennifer, and Stuart and Karen Schultz. Also survived by his brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law, Victor and Darlene Schaefer, Gideon Schaefer, Leona Schaefer, John and Darlene Schaefer, and Harriet Schaefer. By his grandchildren, Candace and her husband Jim Teakin, Katie and her husband Jake Paulson, William Schultz, John and Becca Schultz, Jeff and Yolanda Schultz, Jenny and Matt Nelson, Chelsea and George Summerside, Carissa and Wyatt Schutt, Chandra and J.R. Van Zyl, Parker Schultz and Spencer Schultz, and 18 great-grandchildren. May God bless his memory in our hearts and minds. If you know the 23rd Psalm, I'd invite you to join me in saying that, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, very familiar to most of us, but beautiful verses that Jesus spoke to his disciples on the night before the cross as he was trying to comfort them with what was going to take place, and they weren't understanding it at that point. John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you turn again in the red hymnal to number 301, 301, we'll sing softly and tenderly. from the Epistle of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Amen. I'm going to go into those verses, but before I do, I thought I just had to look back this week at the prophet Amos in the Old Testament, as that is Amos's name. Maybe you're familiar with him, maybe not. He was one of the minor prophets, it seems, the hardest ones to memorize for many. But we start with Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. I'm not going through all of them. Jonah, Micah, and on they go. So what about this guy, Amos the prophet? Now, I'm not trying to say Amos Sam Schultz was a prophet, but I can see similarities between the two of what we know about Amos the prophet in the Old Testament. He lived in Judah, southern Israel, about 750 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. And he is referred to as one of the shepherds of Tekoa. So Tekoa, it was just a village, a small village about 10 miles south of Jerusalem. But as he's called that, so we know he was a shepherd, and he's referred to that again. It didn't just mean he had sheep. A lot of times that's what we think about with shepherds in our day. But in that word, shepherd in the Hebrew also meant he was a breeder of livestock, of other kinds of livestock. If we'd go further into chapter 7 of Amos, we'd find that he took care of sycamore fig trees. He was called a farmer in those verses. Yeah, he didn't raise corn or soybeans or wheat, but he took care of the sycamore fig trees. Even what I read, he pruned them at the right time, so they would have just the right amount of sweetness. It was a skill, as farming is. And so God sovereignly calls this guy, Amos the prophet, in the Old Testament, who was just a simple farmer. And by the way, for your information, I had no idea that poem about I'm just a farmer was coming in the funeral folder till I saw it last night, and I had this all chosen before. So that's how God works, by his Spirit. He was just this quiet, simple farmer. And God called him, and he obeyed and went. And I don't want to get into a whole bunch here, but God called him up to northern Israel. This is when the nation was separated into the two groups. And northern Israel, they had been blessed with 40 years of peace and prosperity. And guess what happened? They got further away from God. What we see in our nation today is that God has poured out such incredible blessings upon us, and so much of the nation departs from God. But Amos went up there and he preached to them all those years, challenging them about their worship of idols and their falling away from God, and warning them, the Assyrians are going to overtake you. They didn't listen, and so it happened. So let's come to this, back to James chapter 5 is what I wanted to focus on here. Be patient then, brothers, sisters, believers, we could say, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. Now, we all know it can be a little hard to be patient when those rains aren't coming, can't it? We keep praying, we keep trusting the Lord. But James, The half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ uses this illustration of a farmer here as he's encouraging these believers at that time to stand firm through the struggles of life, whatever they might be, through the suffering of life, through being persecuted for their faith, which was happening greatly at that time. And just as Amos the prophet had the livestock and was a farmer, so was Amos Schultz. Milking cows, Geraldine told me here recently, up to 200 they were at one time. Whew. That's a bunch back in the day. Raising hogs, crop farming can be quite a challenge. It's even today, farming, many of you are. All four of the boys are. You plant and you wait. There's a whole lot more than that, but I'll just use those two words. We all know, not trying to make light of it. What waiting for the land says to yield its valuable crop, waiting for the rains to come. And there's a point where, as we all know, you have to look for something to happen beyond yourself, and that is God's provision. You can do everything you know to do. In Amos's day, how farming was then, in today, how things have changed, all the fertilizers and chemicals and everything, but as we saw in the year of 2012, all that can be for naught if God does not bring the precious rain to do it. We trust in Him. We rely on Him. The harvest depends on God to bring it all together. And that's faith. And I just have to read the last three lines of that poem as I got home last night and I read that, and it fits so well in here. It says in that, I'm just a farmer, and just, I guess I'd like to think of a different title than that. It makes it sound like just. I live in a complex world, but my faith guides me. I am a man who works with God. I cannot succeed without His help. For you see, I'm a farmer, plain and simple. It's a neat poem, it really is. So again, James is using this illustration to encourage believers then and today to stand firm through the struggles, the challenges of life. And how are we supposed to do that according to the verses that follow? As we think about Amos and Geraldine's life of 67 years together, praise the Lord for that. And as we live our lives today, I think number one, we anticipate the Lord's coming. His second coming. Two times, verse 7, verse 8. Verse 7, listen again, James 5. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. Verse 8, again, you too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. It is. And that was 2,000 years ago. And if it was near then, I'm telling you what, we are right at the door of that. Believe it or not, doesn't matter if you believe it or not, He's coming. He's coming. Sort of like the law of gravity. If someone says, I don't believe that, well, go on top of the church and jump and see what happens. You're not going up. Well, you might. If you end up dead on the floor, you might go up. Secondly, but first you wouldn't. Every generation has to be ready for His second coming. We have to live that way. Why, in the challenges of life, yeah, as I say this, we live our lives, yeah, we have to plan as if we're going to live it out to whatever God gives us, 86 years or more. But we also have to live as if today was it, the last day, because we do not know. But we realize as we anticipate His second coming, we realize these struggles, the challenges, it's not always going to be like this. There are going to be better days ahead. Amos's struggles, the effects of Parkinson's, that's hard. Some of you have had loved ones who've been through it. You know very well. Very hard. Being in the care center, and again, thank goodness for the workers there. And just before service this morning, and Geraldine said how hard that was through the year of 2020, especially when she couldn't go in. No, none of us could go in. And you had to look through the window to see him. Hard times. But if anyone was ever faithful in visiting their spouse all those years, it was Geraldine Schultz and the family too. He always had a smile on his face. He always did. It was beautiful to see. I think another neat thing too, I don't know if it was all 8.5 years, but I know certainly it probably was, but in these last years here, anytime I was in there and Geraldine was there, that TV was going to be on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Why? Because that was feeding his spirit. He's hearing the word of God preached. He's listening to the praises of the Lord being sung. He's just being fed day and night. What a blessing. So we anticipate the Lord's coming. Secondly, he says, don't grumble and complain. When we're in sufferings, when we're in struggles, hard times, being persecuted for our faith, don't grumble, he says, against each other in verse 9, or you'll be judged. And then he says, the judge, capital J, talking about Jesus, is standing at the door. Standing at the door. Another, twice he said, the Lord's coming is near. This time he uses a different phrasing. He's standing at the door. That means it's near. He's trying to get that point. Again, we don't know when our last breath will be. James didn't either, but as I looked, we don't know according to Scripture how he died, but tradition tells us this. He was taken to the pinnacle of the temple, Herod's temple at that time, and thrown down, and then whatever life was in him, clubbed to death for his faith in Jesus Christ. How high was the pinnacle of the temple? Glad you asked, because I looked it up. 70 yards. Look at a football field. You think 70 yards and flip that up and you're going down, and we've been there where this all was and it's all rock below. For his faith, and he's encouraging these believers. That pinnacle of the temple is exactly where Satan in Matthew chapter 4 when he was being tempted in the wilderness. Remember, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And then Satan quotes the scripture from Psalm 91:4. It's written, the Lord will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answers right back with the word, it is written, you shall not put your Lord, the Lord your God, to the test. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Third point is how we stand firm. God will reward your patience. And he did. And he does. For Amos was the reward. Heaven. Heaven. As I said last night, one neat thing I was thinking about with his sister Lorene, as we just had her funeral 3 months ago, and he's seeing her completely healed and whole. Imagine that. As he never knew her in that way. What a joy. What a joy. Verse 10, James 5. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets. Look back to the Old Testament prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. There's all kinds of examples. Now, I've known people, unfortunately, maybe we all have. I have known people who have turned very bitter in the face of suffering. Bitter towards God? Why would he allow this? If this is who he is, I don't want anything to do with him. Well, that's a dangerous place to be. Dangerous place. No, he is our only comfort in life and in death. Whatever we're going through, he is our help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. He's the one we run to. He's not the problem, he's the answer. Remember that, and Amos always kept that. It was evident to see. Job, he brings out Job, lost all that he had. 7 sons, 3 daughters. In one day, they were all together. A big storm comes, the house collapses on him. Bam, dead. Lost all of his livestock. You know how much that was? 7,000 sheep, 5,000 camels, 500 donkeys, 500 yoke of oxen. And then Satan comes to test Job's physical body. God, of course, said, yeah, you can test him physically, but you cannot have his life. In that misery, remember, his wife came and said, Job, are you still holding on to your integrity? Are you still holding on to your faith in God? What would that have been? It would have been like if Geraldine had gone to Amos and said, I'm turning off this Christian station. We are not listening to that anymore. Look what you're going through. I'm not reading the Bible to you anymore. Look what you're going through. That's about what that would compare. She says, curse God and die. Just get it over with, Job. And he says, you are talking like a foolish woman. That was his answer. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all of this, Job did not sin in what he said. He was faithful. And if you know the end of the story, in chapter 42 of Job, it says the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. That was for Job. And then it says, it finishes out, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And so as we don't know what awaits us. And it's a good thing we don't. Otherwise, just worry ourselves sick about that. But we know who holds the future. And we rest in Him, our God and our Father, and Christ as our Lord and Savior, because He is full of compassion and merciful, long-suffering, slow to anger, the Scriptures say. Now, one of Amos's greatest blessings and rewards of life surely has to be his wife of 67 years. Praise the Lord. Another one of his greatest blessings, I think, seeing all 4 of his sons farming within a 10-mile radius of his home place. Now, is that incredible? In this day and age, that is incredible. I said to Fred the other day, I said, how many miles? North, Mike, south, Fred. Yeah, hard workers. As he taught you, as he raised you. What a blessing, what a reward to see you, watch you raise your families, enjoying his 11 grandchildren and 18 great-grandchildren. What an incredible reward. And I have to believe one of his greatest desires as he left this earth would be to know that all of you are following in his footsteps in your faith. And that is your decision. I know a lot of you. I don't know all of you well. I know a lot of you. That is all your decision. But that's how you were raised. It's not an automatic thing. It's not just a given. It's individual. We stand before our judge individually when that day comes. We all sin, and we all need a Savior because we get in messes in life. I'll finish up here quickly, but I have to just mention this story that was shared last night about the cow that climbed up into the hayloft of that barn after they'd put stairs in so they could have a square dance up there. There was a cow that needed attention from the vet, so they had him in the barn. The vet assistant comes, no cow. They come to the house, Fred, where's the cow? Well, it's in the barn. It's not in the barn. Well, it has to be in the barn. Well, it was in the barn. It just went up in the hayloft and tried to get the cow out of the hayloft. Yeah. They get it down, and I don't quite know. Somehow one leg slipped through the window or something on the way down, and how do you do all that? Finally, they did. Well, it reminded me of ourselves and the messes we get ourselves involved in our own lives. Because we are born with sin. That is how we are born. That is why Jesus had to come, so that we could be born again, as he told Nicodemus. Clearly he said that to him. Yeah. And so when Thomas said to Jesus there the night before the cross, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there." Do you think what Jesus felt at that moment? If it was me teaching these guys for 3 years, I'd be like, "What? Are you kidding me?" But he didn't. He didn't. He answered him, "You know what, guys? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Period." And that is not a popular thing in the day in which we live, but that is the gospel truth, to, as it was then and as it is today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Oh, the incredible price that you paid for our salvation, that we can come to times as these to rejoice in your goodness and grace and mercy of drawing Amos to yourself by your Spirit as he lived on this earth. And I pray that all of us would know you, Jesus, the same as Amos did. Help us to live for you. Father, if there's any here who struggle with that, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would work in lives and hearts and minds as only you can do. We rejoice in your goodness and the reward of your blessings. Thank you for this beautiful family that you blessed Amos and Geraldine with. It's incredible to know them all. And we ask your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd stand with me, please, if you're able. If you want to stand. I'll have one more prayer, and I'll go into the Lord's Prayer with this. My tradition, and I believe here as well, is we use debts and debtors when we come to that, but you feel free to pray that as you desire. But let's pray. And so, Father, again, we give you praise and glory because you are the giver of life, and you are the conqueror of death. You are the Most High God, and we thank you for Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. And Lord, it's so incredible. You said on that day, you said, "Whoever believes in you, though he may die physically, yet shall he live." And you went on to say, "Whoever lives and believes in you would never die." It's just that stepping over into eternity. And so, Heavenly Father, with faith in your great mercy and wisdom, we do entrust Amos Sam Schultz into your eternal care. We praise you, Father, for your steadfast love for Amos all the days of his earthly life. And thank you for all that he was and still is and always will be in our hearts and minds to all of us who loved him so much, for all the memories he's left us with. And Lord God, we thank you that finally for Amos, death itself is now past, and he has entered heaven to spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you will please receive the benediction. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, that you may do God's will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 256, "I'll Fly Away." And as the family recesses out, we'll go to the cemetery for the committal service. The family would like to invite all of you to stay for lunch in the social hall as we return from there. 256, I'll Fly Away.